The word is community. Last week, that was where I was going toward the end, but I had already gone on for a long time, and I was trying to be merciful and even try to be wise, and so I didn't finish what I wanted to say last week. And I just want to say one thing that I was going to say last week, but I didn't, and that's how important our church is as community, that we be a place where people can come and be real and genuine and find other people who care about them and care about living out the Christian life. That word community is very special and very important, and it's important that our church be a community. Actually, somebody used that word early in the summer. It kind of got my heart and my attention, and so I've been using that a little bit more, but how important it is. And even especially in the area that we're going to talk about this morning in celebrating marriage, how important the community of our church is, that we be a healthy place that people at all places in their lives can come and be a part of and feel cared for and feel support no matter where they're at in the journey of life or in the area of marriage or relationships. Today we have come together to celebrate marriage, and it's been a joy, and I've been excited to talk to a lot of people in the last couple of weeks, and I've been gathering photographs and pictures, and with some of the pictures I just received them and I put them on the PowerPoint slide, and others have come with stories. Some have come with a little bit deeper conversations about what's on the heart and the minds of various people related to their lives and the journey that they've been on. Some that have been very great experiences, and some that have had some very painful experiences, and everything in between. But it has been a joy to think about and see your pictures. I have about 75 pictures, 67, 68 couples who did submit photos to me, and so we're going to look at those in a little bit. But today, we acknowledge that one of God's greatest gifts, an incredible gift and a wonderful gift that he gives to us, is the gift of marriage. I've had a lot of stories told to me in the last couple of weeks, and I've enjoyed those, and they've taken me to many places in Scripture. Some of the stories that have been fun and happy and exciting, they've taken me to places and reading Scriptures like that, and others that have talked about difficult times, or even those recently that have gone through difficult times or lost a loved one or been in a circumstance that's been difficult. I realize also that the Scriptures have something to say to us at every part of the journey, at every part of our lives. From the beginning of the Scriptures and throughout the whole Bible, we read of God's plan and God's creation, and how marriage is an important part of how God made us, how God created us, and what God has to say to his people throughout history about marriage and about families and about values and about things that we think about and we talk about at different times. So many places in the Scripture we read about God's advice for each of us. We read in the very first chapter of Genesis, the very first chapter of the Bible, we see a beautiful picture. I believe it's beautiful. It's in many ways, it's clear. It's expressive. It gives us truth about God's plan for marriage, truth that some people, most people, many people accept and believe, and yet at the same time, it's such deep, present, simple truth that the enemy wants to twist it and destroy it and make it completely different than God's plan that he gave us when he created mankind. I want to read from Genesis chapter 1, and then I'm going to read from the last book of the Old Testament today. First, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And he blessed them, and he said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it.'" First thing that I want to say about marriage and about God's view of the creation is this. We acknowledge that God is the creator. God is the one who created life. He designed it.
He somehow, in his infinite wisdom, when he made man out of the dust of the earth, he understood how man would be created, his physical nature, his emotional nature, his psychological nature, his spiritual nature. God had a design and a plan unique to everything that he made when he created man in his own image. Acknowledging the Creator is the beginning point of understanding our relationship with God and understanding who we are, understanding how we're made, understanding how we're designed, understanding the meaning and the importance of the marital union that God gave us in the creation. I notice also the specific words that is used in this scripture, and actually three times within four verses, the author uses this term, the image of God. The image of God. The image of God is very important. And when we realize that God made us and created us, and he had a very specific design, and he also wanted to design us in his image. What does that mean? That certainly is a great ministry. I do understand that the term in their own image, actually in the original language, is a plural term, meaning in the image of the Godhead. I think of it as the implying the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that makes total sense. When we think about how God has manifested himself in history, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so when God created man, he made man somehow in the image of the three, and somehow in the image of that collective nature of the expression of the Godhead. I think of one thing especially that comes to my mind when I think about the image and I think about this idea of the Trinity is the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which has got to be an amazing thing to contemplate. How can God be expressed in these forms, and how do they connect to each other and relate to each other? And their relationship is a mystery to us. Well, the truth is, whatever that mystery is, that's what God made us to be in marriage. There's a mystery about marriage. There's a mystery about being made in the image of God and when two people come together. It's not just about marriage, but today our focus is on marriage. But the truth is, we are made for relationships. We are made to be connected to each other. We are made to need each other. We are made to want each other. We are made to have this desire for this connection with the Creator, and that's a part of our nature, but that's different than what we're talking about today. But we are made to need each other. We are made to need community. We're made to desire something that can only be fulfilled in our connections with one another. God made us that way. So if you wonder, why in the world are we like this? Why do we have such deep needs and feelings, and at times such deep pain, and at times such great joy? It's because God designed us to be that way. Not just about marriage, but certainly in marriage, but in every relationship. We need each other. We need community. That's why I say to our church, we need to be a community that cares for and loves people wherever they're at and whatever circumstance or relationship they're in. Marriage is one of those, and it's a very precious avenue of how God gives us this gift of community and companionship. He gives us needs for that, but then he also gives us this gift of marriage. There are so many places and stories in scriptures that remind us how highly valued marriage is to God. And there's many places or stories that we could stop at today and just read of the value that God has in marriage and the creation of marriage. One of them is in the last book of the Old Testament. I just read from the first chapter of the first book, and I want to read from the next to last chapter of the last book of Malachi. Malachi, of all the things that we could say about Malachi, this last book of the Old Testament is a book about relationships, about two relationships. And pretty much everything else in Malachi is connected to those two relationships that Malachi seems to have at the core of his thinking and his heart as he writes this short prophetic book that concludes this part of the Old Testament, Malachi. It's a book about relationships. Another way to say it is Malachi is a book about the covenant, about covenant. Covenant's a precious word, a special word. It's a word that reflects something deeper than the word promise. I think of covenant, I think, well, promise starts to explain it a little bit, but even deeper than promise is a relationship that one gives themselves completely, absolutely, irrevocably to. Covenant. The covenant relationship between God and us. And much of the Bible talks about that covenant. Malachi does too, and how important the covenant is between us and God. God absolutely loves his people. God has been patient with his people. God tells us that he loves the church. He loved the church of the Old Testament, though the church so often in the Old Testament turned away from him and broke his heart and broke the covenant, broke the promises. God continued to come back to them, come back to show his love and his patience and his care, because God made a covenant with mankind. God's covenant was to continually love and care and accept and embrace and restore the people that he loved. So that word covenant is so strong to understand when we think about marriage. They're connected here in the book of Malachi, and I'll read a couple of passages about that. Covenant is a precious word. I encourage you to incorporate that word into your belief system. I mean, promises is great, and that's a good word too, but covenant's deeper than that. Understand how God feels about you, how God sees you. God sees you through the eyes of the covenant that he made. I don't know, are you getting an echo? Is it just me that's hearing that? I don't know up there. I don't know if we should just use that, or maybe I'm the only one hearing that. What do you think? Nobody's shaking their head one way or another, so maybe it's just me and what I hear. Covenant. Covenant. A deep, deep commitment. That's how God feels about you. I mean, God made his covenant, and he's not wanting to say, okay, you're going to mess up, and then, boy, I'm going to strike you out. Over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament, God affirms his side of the covenant to his people that are not always faithful. And he keeps calling them to come back to be faithful. Malachi writes about that covenant in two expressions. First, he does write about the relationship between Israel and God. But then he also says some things here in chapter 2 about the covenant between a husband and a wife. And they're beautiful, and they're parallel, really, between a man and a wife, as Malachi uses the term, a wife of his youth. That term, the wife of your youth, is kind of a symbolic term. And of course it meant that one that you married long ago, and now you've been in the relationship for a while, and remembering back then and remembering now how important your covenant is, that ongoing covenant is. Covenant relationship, the wife of his youth. God gave Malachi that term, which is a special term. It was a symbolic term. It's a term that meant that back there where you made that covenant, where you entered into that promise, God reminds us that as the days go by, the weeks, the months, as the years go by, that covenant continues to be very special in the eyes of God. And God wants us to preserve that covenant. That term it's symbolic of the journey of marriage, the journey that takes place as we give our lives to one another in marriage. God's heart has been broken many times when his people broke his covenant. In chapter 2, here in Malachi verse 11, he reads these words, Judah has broken faith. That was symbolic, the description that, or broken covenant, one translation says, that God's people have continuously fallen away, and God continues to call them back. And then verse 15, he says, so guard yourself in your spirit and do not break covenant. Do not break covenant. Guard yourself. Be on guard in your marriage. Be on your guard about the things that will come in and disrupt the harmony, the unity, the working together in your relationship, in your marriage. Be on guard, Malachi writes to us. Some truth about the marriage covenant. Number one, marriage is a blessing from God, and we should see it as a gift from God. Marriage is a blessing from God. It's to be cherished. It's to be protected. It's to be seen as a gift that we're very careful with and we're cautious with. And when there's something there that can harm our marriage, that we're careful to step back and take the steps that we need to in order to protect that from harm. We also know that marriage is work. It's a challenge. It may be the most challenging relationship in life, and marriage is not always easy. In fact, most of the time, it's not easy, but it's work. It's a commitment. It's a deep desire to come to that place of harmony in that relationship with someone that requires a great deal of patience and love and care. And God knows that. The covenant of marriage is a lifetime covenant. And in the scripture, we read those words, until death do us part. That's God's plan, in part because it is a journey together. It is a process that takes work and time. God cares deeply about our marriages, wherever we're at, whether we're feeling strong in our marriage or weak in our marriage or it's changing at whatever point. God cares deeply about healing. God cares deeply about restoration. God cares deeply about brokenness. God cares about your heart. God cares about your marriage and where you're at. And if you think maybe you've gone through a difficult time and you wonder, boy, I don't even want God to know about it. But that's completely outside of what God wants for us. He wants us to know that He knows where we're at. He understands the covenant. He understands that broken feeling that He felt with Israel as they would abandon Him and not follow Him, and they would turn away from Him, and He would keep coming back and calling them to repent and to turn back and to strengthen and to renew their covenant with Him. And in the same way, God understands our marriages. He understands the great days and the exciting days, but He also understands the hard times. He cares deeply about restoration of who we are. I mean, restoring our hearts and our hurts and our pains. He also cares about restoring relationships. And when that can take place, God cares about that. He loves you. Like the DS said, maybe I'll tell this little story. I'm trying to remember who it was. I do remember who it was. The other night, trying to remember where I was. But one of the little, trying to remember who I am. It's coming together. An 8-year-old boy in our congregation. I didn't ask his permission, so I won't give you his name. I can't think of where he said it, but boy, it just was such a blessing to me. It was Wednesday night, somewhere, somehow, sometime. Oh, I know where it was. All right. Sorry, Brad, you had to put up with me. Brad was there, I believe. He heard it. But the little boy said, I remember something about what that guy said. I'm paraphrasing what it was. And he said, God's not mad at me. You remember when Carrie Willis said that the first Sunday in August? He said, God is not mad at you. God is crazy about you. This little boy quoted him on Wednesday night down in the caravan class. And that really was amazing to me. It's amazing that he heard that and amazing that he remembered that. But it's amazing the truth in that statement. God is crazy about you. So don't think when you go through a hard time that God is like, oh man, not them again. Oh man, that's not the God of covenant in Malachi. The God of covenant in Malachi loves you so much. And He keeps calling out. And He cares deeply if you go through a difficult time. And when you go through hard times, He's not mad at you. God is crazy about you. I know that seems like an emotional statement, but it is really true. That's how God feels about us. I mean, so much so that He would give His only Son to die on the cross, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can you imagine the kind of love that God must have? That He has done what He's done through Jesus, the Son? You imagine what kind of love that is? God is crazy about you. God loves you no matter where you're at, or in marriage, or 68 years, or 1 year, or not married, or or you've lost your spouse, God loves you and he's crazy about you and he cares about restoring you. He does care about restoring relationships too, but hear me put a period on the end of that statement. God cares about restoring you and who you are. And he's with us. Don't forget that in your marriage. God is with you and he cares and he hears your needs and he knows who you are. Marriage is a journey together with the one we have covenanted with. And we need to make sure that in that relationship, God is right there with the two of us. Boy, without God in marriage, I don't know how anybody in their self-centeredness can make it. Because we are basically self-centered people. And we've got to come to that place of being sanctified in that marital part of our lives. That part of that tendency to want our way and always want it to be like we want it to be. And harder to listen and hard to respond and hard to adjust. And all those things that are important for us to do. The one we have covenanted with. Marriage is a long journey. And God calls us to have a certain attitude and spirit toward it. God knows our needs. You know, God knows what we need. Number one, he made us one. And that's in this scripture. I won't take time to find it. But God makes us one in marriage. There's something about the unity and the oneness in marriage. It's so important. That's God's vision for marriage. The two shall become one. And all the challenges with that. The two shall become one. I see in this scripture the word partner in Malachi chapter 2. And that's another way, another description the prophet gives us of how God sees marriage, partnership. Permanent partnership. That's God's hope and God's plan. God also desires that we have godly offspring. I won't take time to go into that, but here it talks about godly offspring. Why does he want us to be one? Because he wants us to have godly offspring. It's important to the heart of God. So I say out to you parents, do everything you can to hear this chapter and hear these words, that your offspring are important to God. God calls us to faithfulness with each other. God calls us to faithfulness in our marriage, in our relationship. And anything that would encroach on our faithfulness, God warns us to be very careful about. Whatever it could be. And it can be different for different people. Obviously, one of the areas that's very difficult is the area of pornography. And statistics tell us the percentage of men especially that are involved in pornography, and it's a high number. But it's not just men. Anything that draws our heart and our mind and our spirit away from listening to our spouse, of being close and that oneness with our spouse, God tells us to be very careful about it. Back up. Learn. Hear. Respond. Our hearts, our eyes, our ears, our tongue, our priorities. God tells us to protect something that's very valuable. God cares about these things. He is our helper. God is our counselor. God is our corrector in marriage when we listen to him. God is our healer. God does want to heal us. He wants to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God's role, these things. This is God's role. But also we have a role, and I'll name these five things, and then we're going to go to our pictures this morning. I want to say to you five things. If you have five fingers on your hand, five words that I want to mention today about what God wants in your marriage. Number one, God wants you to have a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. Stubborn people are broken people. Stubborn people are broken people. When it comes to relationships, when it comes to husband and wives, God does not want us to be stubborn for ourselves. Maybe stubborn about certain things. But be careful that you don't lose a teachable spirit in marriage. Sometimes we can come into marriage and have a problem and not have a teachable spirit. And then we're not able to hear the other person We're not able to hear God. We're not able to hear other people who give us advice or counsel because we have a stubborn spirit, a teachable spirit. God calls us to have. Secondly, God calls us to have a forgiving spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 reminds us how important it is for us to have a forgiving spirit, that we forgive one another just as in Christ God forgave you, and that we're able to let go of stuff that can be difficult and can become a rub, that can become annoying, that can become a block to healthiness in a marriage and healthy communication. God calls us to have a forgiving spirit. If you can think of them on your hand, a teachable spirit, a forgiving spirit. Number three, a flexible spirit. A flexible spirit. Being able to change. Being able to back up. Being able to say, you know, I need to think that through again. I need to understand the impact of what I say and how I feel, or the way I treat you, or the way I have dealt with who I am and my personality and all those things, a flexible spirit. All these are related, of course. Number four, a serving spirit. A serving spirit. God called us to have a serving spirit. He called every one of us to serve one another in marriage. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. Jesus was the great servant of all, and he calls us to have a spirit that serves each other with a heart and the attitude. And God wants us to have a praying spirit, praying for each other, always, always saying, God, you have authority in my heart, in my life, in my spirit. I want to say today how important it is for us to continually bring our marriages before God. Because sometimes we might not know what to do. We might not know how to handle a problem, conflict, things that are painful. And we always got to keep bringing them before a God who hears and cares and knows about us. And so Malachi chapter 2, 16, the end of the chapter says, so guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. I want to challenge everyone that's married this morning to ask that God would help you with those five things in your life: a teachable spirit, a forgiving spirit, a flexible spirit, a serving spirit, and a praying spirit. May God help you in your marriage. I'd like for us to celebrate this morning, and what we're going to do now, about 15 minutes worth of pictures. But before we do that, we need to kind of loosen up a little bit and relax. You guys are a little bit too tense this morning. Husbands. Husbands, if your wife is here today, I'd like to invite you to kiss your wife. I love you. Precious to me. Do you need more time? Woohoo! Wives. Now I want to give you an opportunity to slap your husbands. Unmarried men, if you're looking, if you're interested, you can get up right now and go to an unmarried woman and shake her hand. Any takers? Now I want to be a little more serious for a moment. Widows and widowers. I know that this picture show for some of you is healing and some of you probably is a little bit more difficult. In fact, you've told me that. I've talked to quite a few people. Some have said, you know, I really want my picture, my spouse up there because it's meaningful to me and it's healing. And others... Well, two others have told me, you know, Pastor, it really hurts me to even think about that. So seeing that picture up there doesn't help me. And I realize how different we all are. That's why community is so important, that we be a place that hears and understands people where they're at. One thing about people is we're all different. But being sensitive to and hearing the needs of people, I think, are very important. And I want us to be a church that can hear how people are feeling. And maybe the other category I think of is those that are here today and would like to be married and are not. Maybe have been married before and and your marriage ended, and you come to a service like this and you hear about marriage and it brings up hurt and it brings up thoughts and feelings. And I want to say to you too and to our church family how important it is for us to understand the covenant heart of God, and that we're a community that loves and cares about all the people that are a part of it. Those that might be here today and be hurting especially, we want to say to you probably more than anything else how highly loved and valued you are. And we want to be a force and impact that encourages you in your faith and your life and your future and your choices ahead. But we want to say that we care about you deeply. So I guess you can do anything you want to. You can go find somebody. You can kiss them. You can hug them. You can slap them. You can shake them. You can laugh. If you need to cry, it's okay to cry. But I just want to say we want to be genuine when we celebrate this precious gift of marriage. And to every one of you that are here today, you're a valued part of our church family. All right, we'll spend about 10 minutes per picture. I don't know if it makes... Why are you laughing at me? Oh, I meant 10 seconds. Okay, I really didn't mean to say that. You probably thought I did. Okay, 10 seconds or so. I just wonder, maybe this won't work, but could we give a hand to each couple that comes up? Again, most of them are people that are part of our congregation, but some have submitted pictures with their loved one having gone on. And we want to celebrate that, the faithfulness of marriage and all the challenges and the good things. So some of you have asked that your picture be up there. And we've had two or three that were sent to me from a family member. Both their family members were gone, but they wanted that to be up. So today, let's just give honor and respect to everyone and take a moment and express that. And let's celebrate today. Let's enjoy this together.